Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right, man, what an incredible morning. I just want to take a second. Can you just put your hands together with me just one more time? Because we're celebrating here at the Bridge Church that the Lord has risen. Number one, that's incredible. And two, this is our very first Easter Sunday service here at the Bridge Church. And this is our 10th week on our Sunday public gathering. We started just as small groups back in August and September. And we just believe we've been taking those steps of faith with God each and every day. And so we just wanted to take that moment and celebrate. But you guys can grab a seat. We're going to take the next few moments and talk a little bit about the Easter story and how that relates to us. And we have a couple different stories we want to show and a little bit more singing together as we're celebrating this incredible day together as well. And I just want to pray for us as we get started here. And then we're going to jump right in this Easter morning. And it's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Amen. It's incredible to see that. And you get to see me in a tie today. So if this is your first time here, I'm not normally in a tie, but I just felt like Easter, it was the time to bust the tie out, right? But let's pray together before we dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for each and every person that's here today, God. They are not here by mistake, but on purpose, God. And I just pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that we'll be encouraged. I pray that we'll be built up by your word and by your truth, God. And may we remember that you are alive today and you are available to us in our lives. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So Easter, I don't know, does your family have some Easter traditions? Do you guys have an Easter tradition? Maybe for you, you just get everybody dressed up and you come to church or whatever that is. My wife's family in particular, they have this tradition where it's sort of like a pseudo-Christmas where they would wake up and they would have gifts on the couch there ready for them. And so this morning my wife sent me a picture and she had jelly bean trail all the way from the kids' bedrooms to the couch. And they got there and they got like little sand toys, different things like that. But I love Easter traditions. I love that there is something special about Easter, right? Because I honestly believe that it is such a huge historical moment in time that there is something about creation that God is drawing people in. Because it is the hinge pin for our Christian faith. It is the moment in history when everything changed. And so we get the opportunity to celebrate that moment. And see, this moment began all the way back when Jesus, God, is in heaven, this perfect place. I mean, beings were just created to fly around and to worship Him. And He saw the brokenness and He saw the hurt and He saw the separation between His creation and Him. And He said, I love them so much that He came on this earth as a baby. I mean, I was just holding my little girl this morning and just rocking her. And I can imagine just the fragile state of a baby and what Jesus must have felt. He's just left heaven, right? And now he's this fragile state as a baby. Grew up. His parents lost him one time. So parents, we got a little breathing room right there, right? He walked this earth a perfect, sinless life. And then as he gets to the age of about 30, we see his ministry start to kick up. He starts doing miracles and he's healing people. He's preaching with such authority. Thousands and thousands of people start coming to hear this. And so there's these guys, Pharisees and Sadducees, they start getting upset because he is drawing that much of a crowd. He's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be the King of Kings. And for them, this is blasphemy. They can't have it. They can't handle it. And so they start to plot to kill Jesus. And they come together. They have him arrested. And it comes to this night. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so the atmosphere is at night. It's very, very late. In fact, he's trying to get his disciples to stay up and pray with him. And they keep falling asleep. And as they're falling, he's like, wake up, the hour is upon us. And he's praying and he's praying together with his disciples. And I recently watched a video of theatrics of this actually happened, and it just reminded me of the impact and the weight of that night, and the mentality of Jesus, because he comes and all of a sudden we know that he is betrayed by Judas, and when he's betrayed by Judas, he gives him a kiss to indicate that this is the one who you are to arrest. And when he comes to be arrested, he has these group of followers, and there's this one guy named Peter, and he is kind of a passionate, fiery guy. He pulls his swords out and cuts a guy's ear off and says, "Jesus, run, run." This is what the movie showed. In the Bible, he doesn't show him yelling, "Jesus, run, run." But I love that picture because it shows how close Peter and Jesus were, how close his followers were, that God had healed them. God had changed their life. And they've been following this man, this incredible, incredible man. And Jesus walks up. I love this picture. And he grabs the soldier's ear, which kind of, I don't know, gory too, but grabs his ear and he puts it back on his head and heals his ear. And he says, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." And in that moment, we see a picture of Jesus. Jesus is not in shackles. He is not in chains. He was born for this moment. He was born to come to die on a cross for you and for I. And how incredible, what an incredible picture that he voluntarily left heaven and died on the cross. And all of his disciples are around, and some of them have scattered at this moment. And when Jesus is hung on the cross and he dies, they are fearful. They are terrified. They scatter. There's only a select few that are right there at his feet because they're worried the same thing is going to happen to them. And so they take Jesus' body and they put it in Joseph's tomb. He gets a tomb, buys a tomb for him, and puts it in there, and he puts Jesus there. And can you imagine the confusion in that moment? I thought this was going to be different. Jesus, you said you were the King of Kings. We were going to conquer nations. We were going to take this whole Roman Empire, everything. We were just going to take control and we were going to get ahead, and this was going to be it. And so they all go back, fearful for their lives, lock the door. They're praying. They don't know what to do. They're confused. And I've been that way before in my life, where I've been confused, where something like, "God, I thought this was going to be different. God, I saw this in my life playing out a little differently. I didn't think I would be here. I didn't think that this would happen. I thought it was going to be different. What is going on?" Because I can relate to the disciples in this moment, right? I thought something, the confusion and the distraught, and they're wondering what is happening. And Friday night goes, and Saturday night. And here we're going to read a piece of scripture in Luke chapter 24. Where a group of women get together and they have started to make these spices and ointment to go and anoint Jesus' body. And I started to think about that and what was going through their minds, because if we read in Scripture, it says that the tomb was sealed, it was closed, and no human can open it. It was sealed and it was guarded by guards. So why would she grab spices and oil to go anoint Jesus' body if she knew that it was sealed and she couldn't get in? But I'm thinking back to how we can be as humans. We go back to what we know, right? Normally in a situation, I would just start prepping. I would get this stuff ready. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're gonna do. And in those moments of confusion, in those moments of maybe doubt and fear, we just go back and say, "Hey, this is what I'm used to doing, so I'm just gonna do this. I'm just gonna keep myself busy." I keep myself busy all the time, right? I have to tell myself that there's a different way to live. And it's like, we just get ourselves busy, keep our hands silent. And so that's what the women are doing. They're honestly don't know what to do. So they go back to what is familiar. And they get this and they go to the tomb. And we're going to read here. It's very early in the morning. I can just picture as they're walking through the grass. The dew is still on the grass. The sun is just coming up. The air is cool. And this is where we pick up here in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. If you're with me, still say amen. 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 Verse 1, it says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. Then they remembered his words. What an incredible scene. She walks up to the tomb, ready for his spices and ready to anoint Jesus' body. And she gets there and the stone had been rolled away. And all of a sudden, two angels appear. I don't know what I would do in that moment, but probably the same thing that Mary and everybody else did. They hit the floor, the bright light. And all of a sudden, the angels say, "Why?" Oh, I love this question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living? He is risen. He is not here. We see the power of Jesus in the resurrection in this moment. And this moment proves a lot of things about Jesus. One, the resurrection proves that Jesus is God. Because anybody can go to the cross. There was two other people that went to the cross that day. But on the third day, they didn't rise again. Jesus rose again, and it proved that he is God, that he has power over death, that Jesus carries that resurrection power. It also proves that Jesus has power over sin and death. Because if Jesus is God, then what he said is true. Because He prophesied. He said, "I am God." He spoke that truth. And if the resurrection proves that he is God, and we see in 1 Corinthians 15 that not only did Jesus appear to his disciples, but he also appeared to over 500 people during that time. An incredible sight to see that the resurrected Jesus, we even see doubting Thomas, right? And he's like, "No, I'm not going to believe unless I touch the holes in your hands," which I think is a little crazy, right? Like, "If I touch the holes in your hands and put my hand in your side, like if I can do that." And Jesus says, "Okay, Thomas." He doesn't. And he walks up and he appears and he allows Thomas to do that, to see that in the moment. And in there, we see that Jesus is God. And this is huge. This is monumental, because if Jesus is who he says he is, then everything he said is true. And if everything that he said is true, we can take him at his word. We can believe in it. We can live in it. We can have faith in his word, faith in his truth. And if he has power over sin and death, he has power to save me and save you. Right? Amen. And he has power to move in our lives. And if what he said is true, then I can believe that I can trust him with the word of God. I can trust him with, now he's teaching me how to love because he is love. He's teaching me the best way to parent my kids. He's teaching me the best way to live my life. That this isn't a rule book and he's not ready to slap us on the hand. But no, he's saying, "Look, I created you and this is how I created you to live. And if you will follow me, if you will obey me, I can show you a way that you can live to your most potential. Because I created you. I know you. I know the very number of hairs on your head." And if his word is true, he tells us things like, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He says, "In this world you will have trials and sorrows." That not everything, we live in a fallen world, not everything is going to work out to be perfect. Or hey, everything is going to be like skipping through flowers and all these different scenes. He's saying, no, you will have trials and sorrows, but what you can do is have peace in me. That you can take heart because I have overcome the world. That in those trials, in those sorrows, we can still have hope because in the resurrection of Jesus, on my worst day, Daniel Cazenet's worst day, I stand face to face with Jesus. And that's the power that he gives us, is that there is hope, not only now, but hope for eternity. And the power that Jesus gives, that we can rest in that. We can trust in that, because that's the power of the resurrection. And I want to tell just one more quick story in John chapter 11, and then I'm going to close and pray, and we're going to listen to a story, and Pastor Jason's going to come up and close the service. And because Jesus teaches us another truth about the resurrection, that the resurrection is not just a one-time event. You see, in John chapter 11, we see that Jesus is with his followers, and there's these two ladies, Mary and Martha. And in Mary and Martha, they have a brother named Lazarus, and Lazarus has grown incredibly sick, and they call for Jesus to come and to heal Lazarus. And so in this moment, Jesus delays. He waits, and I think about the same questions, the same why. What is going on? What is happening in here? Why is this happening? And And Lazarus gets so sick that he passes away. And so when Jesus comes 4 days later, he says, your brother will rise again. And I want to read this here in verse chapter 11, verse 23. It says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, and Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And when they speak of the resurrection, Martha goes straight to an event. Martha goes, oh yeah, we will on the last day when you create the new heavens and the new earth, we will all be raised up with Christ again. And Jesus says, yeah, that's true. And they don't know that another event is going to happen where Jesus is resurrected. And we celebrate that event Easter Sunday. But he's saying, hey, the resurrection is bigger. The resurrection is wrapped up. And he goes on in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus teaches that the resurrection is not just a one-time event, but a person. And his name is Jesus. And that is monumental for you and I, because in 2018, we can one point to the moment that Jesus proved that he is God in the resurrection, but Jesus is the resurrection. And so if Jesus is with us, there is always hope. If Jesus is with us, there is power for resurrection. If Jesus is with us, he has power over sin and over death in our lives. He has power to bring us peace when nothing else on this earth, on this planet can give us peace. Jesus can, because he is the resurrection. So wherever Jesus is, there is the resurrection. And that is huge for you and I, to know that he is with us, and that power, that truth, that grace, that love is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. And as long as we are close and know him, we are close to that truth. We are close to that power. You see, I've seen Jesus not only in my own life, but I've seen Jesus radically change people's lives. Week in and week out, hearing stories of God, how he has spoken truth and people have accepted his grace and they have been set free from sin, set free from bondage, set free from shame, set free from guilt, and how they've walked in that freedom in Christ. And I've seen him do it in my life. I still remember the day that I came to the end of my road and I said, God, I can't do this on my own power anymore. And I'm standing in the parking lot and I call who most of us will call in a problem, where I'm like, hey, mom, I've been running from God. I know you've been praying for me like crazy, and I can't do it anymore on my own. The weight, the burden, the guilt, all of that is just on my heart. God, I'm running from him. I'm making decisions. And I don't even know if I'm going to make it if I stay on this route. And she prays with me right there. And from that moment on, Jesus set me free. I am alive today because he died for me, and 3 days later, he rose again. I am free today because of what Christ did for me. And his perfect sacrifice on the cross paid for my sin yesterday, today, and forevermore. That is the power of Jesus Christ. And he can do that not only for me, but he can do it for you as well. And so I just want to conclude some of the Easter message today, and that maybe for you, if you don't know Christ, my prayer is that you would surrender to that today. But also, if you're a believer in Christ, to remember where you would be without Jesus. What kind of hope would we have? What kind of direction would we have? Remember the power that he set us free, and we can remember that today. And that we can help somebody else see that freedom. Help somebody else understand that truth that Jesus is God. You can trust him. And this Easter season is such an easy way to go, look, he is alive. There is nobody on this planet that can prove that he wasn't. There's all kind of theories, all kind of different testimonies and things that people will try to say, but they cannot get to that one proof of evidence that he did not rise again. And we can believe that. And I want us now to watch this story, and then we're going to sing together again here.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.